We try to put these systems in place so that everyone's kind of working from the same baseline of knowledge and everyone has the same understanding of how we operate.
Building a company from nothing is freaking hard. Us entrepreneurs are expected to deal with unimaginable challenges and somehow keep a cool head through it all. This is The Art of Entrepreneurship, and I'm your host, Jackie Hermes. I grew my company, Excelity, from 0 to 7 figures with no partners and no funding. The Art of Entrepreneurship is a show where we cut through the BS and dig into what it actually takes to start and grow a company. If you give me your time, I promise it won't be wasted. Now let's get to work.
Hello, and welcome back to The Art of Entrepreneurship. So this week I posted on LinkedIn about my conversation with Andy Galyon, the co-founder of InCheck. And if you missed that episode, go back and listen. Shameless plug. But that post got some interesting engagement and questions. And someone had a question in the comments that we chatted a little bit about. She asked, what is the most effective way to create space for hard conversations before small issues become bigger ones? Very pertinent question. I love the question because it's not really about how to have hard conversations. Obviously, there's a million resources on that. I've done episodes on it and I can leave them in the show notes. But the question is more about how to set the stage and build the environment where people feel like they can have hard conversations, where they're normal, where they're expected, and where you are safe to do so. And by the time you have a hard conversation, it's not like a bomb going off or you're shocked. So I answered in the comments, and then I was like, oh, this could be a post. And then I was like, oh, well, maybe I should make it a podcast. And now here we are. The honest answer is that Jenny and I were not always good at this. I feel like I have to say that because We weren't. And there are probably plenty of team members and past clients that are like, you'd be given advice on this and you were not always good at this. We have been in business together for 11 years. The company has been running for 13 years. And we have learned everything that I'm going to share over time. And I'm going to shout out some people that have given us really awesome lessons. So thank you in advance to everyone that I'm going to shout out. So today I'll walk through a few of those lessons and kind of systems that we've set up. And I'll say again, we don't always enforce them perfectly. I guess enforce might not be the right word, but we try to put these systems in place so that everyone's kind of working from the same baseline of knowledge and everyone has the same understanding of how we operate. So the first one is accountability loops. I think everyone's been in this situation, either personally or professionally, where someone comes to you and you're like, okay, are you venting? Are you looking for advice? And venting is totally fine and it's human. And I want people to feel like they can come to me. I know Jenny wants people to feel like they can come to her when they feel frustrated. But I think that leaders get it wrong when they take the problem and they go and get involved. And I still do this sometimes where you become the messenger or the referee. I do my best not to do that. When someone vents, you have to listen and then try to coach them on how to go and have that conversation themselves. Like, what do you actually want to say? Is this a problem that we should be talking about with the team on like a team level, a department level, whatever it may be? Or is it a problem that really we need to have like a one-on-one discussion because you are having a one-on-one problem? What's the outcome that you're looking for and how can you open that conversation? And then we loop back with that person. And that's something that a lot of people skip. You have to follow up and say, did you actually have that conversation and how did it go? That is the accountability part of the loop. And without it, venting is just kind of complaining. And you can complain, you can release the pressure, but you have to go do something about it. When people come back and they vent and vent and vent about the same thing over and over again, personally, I get really sick of that. Like, I'll listen to you vent once, but I don't want to listen to you talk about the same problem over and over again. I want to see you go and do something about it. And if you're not going to do something about it, frankly, I don't really want to hear about the problem in the future. And that goes for my personal life and my professional life. Like, we got to act on it or we got to stop complaining. Number two is Growth Hero. This is our quarterly upskilling program. And it was inspired by my friend Angela Damiani at Milwaukee. She runs a similar program and she taught Jenny about it. And Jenny put a similar program in place at Excelity. And the idea is very simple. So every quarter, our team is learning new skills and they can be job-based skills. So we've been learning about AI, AI search. People on our team are learning coding. But we do focus a lot on soft skills. And that is really key for today, right? So I think especially in agency life, but in business in general, you have to focus a lot on soft skills to be good at the job. And you can't exactly expect people to be good at having hard conversations if you don't train them on it. It's not really a natural thing. I think we treat communication and feedback and conflict skills like people are just born with them, and they're not. You actually have to practice. It's not just a personality trait that you either have or you don't. And some people are naturally, I guess, more outgoing and more communicative, but you do have to practice the skills of understanding how to communicate with people. When your whole team has a shared language and frameworks for these conversations, they just get less scary and you're not improvising. That's like the worst thing about having a hard conversation is when you're going in cold and you're making it up. When everyone knows what good looks like in soft skills development and in hard conversations, then it just gets a lot easier. If you're listening and thinking something like, well, we don't have budget for a training program, you really don't need one. You just need commitment. Like, people take free training courses. We put together skill programs that are like, okay, listen to this podcast, watch this TED talk, talk to your manager about what you're learning every week, or read a book. What do books cost? Like 15, 20 bucks times the 10 people in your department or whatever. It's just not that expensive. So don't make excuses. This is something that you definitely can do. And then we have people present every quarter on what they learn, and it's a great way to share knowledge throughout the team and to work on our presentation skills. And they can earn things like a half day of PTO or whatever it may be through their presentations as well. So it's a really cool program, and hit me up if you want to know more about it. All right, y'all, it's shameless plug time. I want to take a quick break to chat with you about Excelity, my full service marketing agency. For the last 12 years, we've been working closely with B2B software and service companies. Now we are expanding and looking for growth stage companies with a bold vision, but maybe lacking the marketing strategy or resources to get there. Or hey, you might have resources that just aren't working out. We definitely see that all the time. At Excelity, our team gets results and we have a ton of fun doing it. I'm sure you can tell that from listening to this podcast. So if you or someone you know is a fit, check us out at excelitymarketing.com or reach out to me directly on LinkedIn. Okay, the third thing is we talk a lot about intent versus perception. This is something that I talk to my kids about too, and I think this is super undervalued in society in general and something that people don't think about. And it's also really hard. The concept is that your intent does not always align with how your actions are perceived. Like, we always, pretty much always, have good intent, but sometimes people perceive that we have bad intent. But you have to own the perception of your actions. Like, if you have good intentions, but you say something and someone thinks you're kind of being rude, well, you have to own that. Like, did I have a poor tone? Could I have approached it in a better way? Did I know that they were really stressed at work and I could have maybe said it at a different time? I could have had a face-to-face conversation with them. That's a part of owning the perception of our actions that most people have a really, really hard time with. And we just want to be judged on our intent and say, well, that's not what I meant. Okay, but it is what they heard. And the impact on them is real, whether you meant it to be or not. Because the person on the other side usually only wants to talk about the impact of your actions without any curiosity about what was intended. So the standard that we've adopted is really that two things can be true at once. If your words landed badly, you have to try to own the landing, even if your intent was good. And if you were hurt by something, then you owe the other person the curiosity to ask what they actually meant. And we're going to get into that in number four, which is my favorite, probably, MRI, most respectful interpretation. My friend Matt Maletich, who is a leadership coach, came into Excelity and taught us this one. And I actually did a full episode on it, Once Upon a Time, episode 203, Giving the Benefit of the Doubt. MRI means that when something happens that could be interpreted in multiple ways, which is pretty much everything, you choose the most respectful interpretation of the other person's behavior. I once heard that we always assign positive intentions to ourselves, but we often assign negative intentions to other people. So when I send a short, blunt email, it's because I'm busy. When someone sends me a short, blunt email, they're mad at me. And I send short, blunt communications all the time. So people probably think I'm mad at them all the time. We often give ourselves grace automatically, but we make everyone else earn grace. MRI tries to flip that. So you extend that same benefit of the doubt to others that you naturally give to yourself. And I think this really matters now more than ever because so much of our communication is written. Since COVID, everything is virtual. We are talking in Slack all the time, in email, we're leaving comments in a doc. I think tone is perceived in writing, but we're not always actually translating it correctly. I would actually argue that we're usually not translating it correctly, and you genuinely have no idea what someone's intentions are from a one or two line message. So when you try to fill in the gap of what their intentions are, try to fill them in respectfully. What I've noticed is many conflicts just kind of like they lose momentum when we try to assign positive intent from the start. Like the fight just never gets big enough to even need a hard conversation in the first place. So those are the four things I wanted to talk about today: accountability loops, growth hero, intent versus perception, and MRI. And here's, I guess, a little bit about how they fit together. None of them are really about the conversation themselves. They are all before a hard conversation. And they create space for a hard conversation. It's not a meeting format or a script. It's a culture. It's a standard of how we treat each other. And it kind of reinforces a level of kindness and respect for each other. And we try to, I guess, prevent the hard conversation before it happens. And then when we get there, we expect a level of clarity and kindness from each other. And I'll say it again, we're not always good at this. Some of these practices come from getting it wrong and getting feedback that, you know, we needed to be more open and honest. And if your team doesn't have something like this in place today, it doesn't mean you're behind. It just means that you haven't started yet. And you can pick anything that we talked about today and pick something that could be really easy to implement and start, like MRI, it's really easy to just say, okay, I am going to try to assume positive intention in every single interaction. Well, it's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. Last thing, the person who originally asked this question said something that I wanted to close with. She said, approaching conversations with curiosity instead of certainty makes room. She said, Approaching conversations with curiosity instead of certainty creates so much more room for trust. That really is a great summary of this whole episode. Most people are not trying to harm you, but when you communicate everything through stress or through your past experiences or the trauma that you've been through and your triggers, it's just really easy to assign negative intention and assign poor motives that probably aren't there. So try to be curious, try to assume the best, and remember that clear is kind when you are having those hard conversations. All right, if this episode was helpful, please remember to share it with one person and help me grow this podcast. And I will leave some related episodes in the show notes if you want to check them out. And I will talk to you next time. Thank you so much.